Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Ring the Bell, a pro wrestling podcast. We've got a big one ahead of us today. First, we're going to be talking about news and rumors throughout this past week of pro wrestling. We're going to be talking about the WrestleMania kickoff, which occurred last night. Some chaos ensued on that, and I will be giving my early WrestleMania card predictions in the main event. So stay tuned, because this is Ring the Bell.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ring the Bell!
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dilly, and welcome to the fifth episode of Ring the Bell, a pro wrestling podcast. Hope you guys have been enjoying these. I've definitely been enjoying making them. Got some sponsors, got some plugs to get out of the way, of course, to start off the show. So make sure to follow me on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, all social media platforms at This Is Dilly and at Dilly Plays YT. I'm currently working on getting a Ring the Bell social media presence set up, but Ring the Bell is surprisingly a very common username, I guess. Everyone seems to have it already. So trying to find a way around that, trying to make something good. So I'm not really on the Instagrams and the Facebooks and the TikToks yet, but I will be, slowly but surely. Go to w.gg, use code ThisIsDilly at checkout to save 10%, of course. And check out Dilly Plays. I've actually been playing through Road to WrestleManias recently. I'm on 2009 currently. I just recently finished John Cena's, and today, as it would have it, is that how the saying goes? Anyway, today I finished my Triple H Road to WrestleMania as well over on the Dilly Plays channel. Thankfully, I think a lot of you guys have been going and checking that out, getting quite good reception over there, so happy to see it. Keep it coming. We're going to keep them going next week. I guess this is an announcement. Next week on the Dilly Plays YouTube channel, I will be starting in Undertaker Road to WrestleMania from SmackDown vs. Raw 2009. We only got two left. We got Taker, and then we got the Rey Mysterio and Batista one, which I'm saving for last for some reason. So that's what's going on in my life. That's the things I'm doing. I'm also writing a book that doesn't really have anything to do with anything. Just thought I'd throw it out there. But let's get into wrestling. This is a, like I said, very decently newsworthy week. A lot has been happening this past week. So I'm actually just pulling up all the news articles I have. I like to keep it to about four news articles. I think that leads for a decent enough, not too packed, news segment of the week. So we got four things we're going to talk about, all of which are pretty recent as of the time of recording this episode. I should really keep a log of things to talk about, like news-wise, from throughout the week. I noticed that like a lot of the news that I get through is like shit that just kind of happened, but it is what it is. We're recording this on Thursday, as we always do, so a lot of this stuff even just happened today. A lot of news coming out today. Earlier this week, though, it was announced that Scott D'Amore has been removed as president of TNA Wrestling. This sucks. This really fucking sucks. I'm not a huge TNA guy. I watch clips of it here and there, and, you know, I try to keep up with it a little bit, but I don't watch it consistently because you fucking can't. if I could, I would, but there's no way to do that here. So I don't. But Scott D'Amore has been with the company for quite a while now. His contributions to TNA started in 2003. Everyone knows that. He started off as the, I'm sure he had a backstage role as well, but he was doing that Team Canada gimmick with good old Bobby Roode, Petey Williams. Trying to think of who else is in that group. I think there was more. Eric Young was in that group as well. I think that's it. Team Canada was very fun back in the day. But more recently, Scott D'Amore kind of took over the leadership role. He became the president of TNA Wrestling. He is the, I don't know if I'd say the biggest, but one of the biggest reasons TNA has been doing so good. He knows what he's doing. He really pushed TNA to levels it hasn't seen in a long time. Like, people actually care. He is the one who was behind the name change, but from Impact back to TNA. He knew that was going to work. He was the one booking these great matches, booking these great talents. He was behind a lot of the reason TNA is what it is today. He is no longer with the company. And there's not really a set reason why. Like, there wasn't much information given. He hasn't come out about it yet. I don't feel like he'll ever come out and just say, hey, this is what happened. I don't know. Nobody really knows right now. Here's the article I'm reading from ringsidenews.com. Anthem Sports and Entertainment Inc., a global media powerhouse, has made a significant move in the world of professional wrestling by appointing Anthony Ciccone as the president of TNA Wrestling. Who the fuck is this jabroni? He doesn't have a Wikipedia. That's always a good sign. When you look up Anthony Ciccone, it's in the Google, it says people also ask, who is Anthony Ciccone? And the only thing that comes up is that he's taking over as the president of TNA. Yeah, not a good call, I don't think. I don't know if there was shit going on behind the scenes with Scott D'Amore. I have a feeling it's just the company's like, hey, you've been doing really good. Thanks. Now, we're just going to take over from here and throw the company underground again. It's really unfortunate to see. You really hate to see it because I was really digging what TNA was doing. Like, their relationship with WWE is also apparently a really big Scott D'Amore play. He was apparently big in that happening. Yeah, it really sucks. I'm really disappointed by the fact that he's not there anymore. I see it going to shit really quick, but we shall see. Let's go on to the next thing in news. WWE strikes legends deal with Brian Pillman estate. This is a good news article. This is what you love to hear. In a heartwarming Instagram story, Brittany Pillman Evans, the daughter of legendary Brian Pillman, no relation to Lacey Evans, I would hope, revealed that after an astonishing 27 years, her family has finally acquired the rights to her father's remarkable legacy. What do they mean by that? Where were the rights before? Gratitude, kept the father alive. I don't completely understand. But in any case, WWE now has the rights to make Brian Pillman merchandise, which is very cool. I want Brian Pillman shirts. I want Brian Pillman action figures. I want an Ultimate Edition loose cannon. Oh, I know Brian Myers wants that too. I'm sure that's the first thing he thought when he heard about this deal. He wants an Ultimate Edition Brian Pillman. Everybody would. Anybody would. If you don't know Brian Pillman, or if you're not too familiar with Brian Pillman, go check his shit out. He is truly one of the biggest what-ifs in pro wrestling. He should have been the guy. For a long time, he should have been the guy. He was really good, but he had a lot of fucking demons going on, too. It's a very sad story. If you haven't seen, like, the Dark Side of the Ring on him, check that out, too. That sheds a lot of light into his situation. And a lot of things that a lot of people might not have known, or maybe just, you know, didn't know. I don't know. Brian Pillman's a legend. He's a GOAT. I'm very happy that WWE gets to make merchandise and make money off him. Even though they never did anything with him. They never made him the star they should have. They fucking dropped the ball. It is what it is. It's just good that Brian Pillman merch is getting made. It's good that that's a thing that's happening. The next piece of news, it's not really news. I don't really believe this one. It's news and rumors. So this is like, I don't even know if I'd say it's a rumor. It's an opinion. Chelsea Green feels it's only a matter of time before Matt Cardona returns to WWE. So she was on Insight with Chris Van Vliet. During the interview, she opened up about the possibility of Matt Cardona returning to WWE, so she feels like it's only a matter of time before it happens. This is what she said. I would also love to know that I'm waiting. Wait, what? That's just taken out of a really weird spot. I'm patiently waiting because not that I want to be partnered up with him in WWE. That would be great. I think we could have an amazing mixed match, tag division, whatever it is. But I don't know. I don't know why. I would love to know why. I would love to be a fly on the wall in the kind of meetings that of the top guys in WWE. But I do feel like in my heart of hearts, it's only a matter of time. It feels crazy that he wouldn't be. So she thinks Matt Cardona is going to hop over to WWE at some point. Doesn't mean he's going to. Doesn't mean there's been talks that he's going to. Personally, I don't see it happening anytime soon. It should. It would be good if it did, because Matt Cardona is kind of getting old. I hate to say that. He's 38 years old. He's almost 40 years old. If he's going to come back and plan doing like a decent run, He needs to act now. If he doesn't, that's not good. He's going to have problems there. His indie god shit has been really good. Like, he's been so consistent with it. He's just been completely recreating himself. He's been revolutionizing his character. He's just been adding more layers onto it and onto it. But it gets to a certain point where, do you want to go down in history as indie god guy? Do you want to go down in history as guy who was in WWE for a bit, struggled, had a huge following, but in the end failed? Or do you want to be the guy who, after years of going off, doing your own thing, making a name for yourself, you come back and then we'll see? Because, like, you look at a guy like Cody. His story was kind of written in stone. He made such a big impact. He was, like, one of the first guys, in modern times anyway, who really elaborately left WWE. Like, he made a huge... It was a huge deal when it happened. Oh, Stardust is out. Nobody cared about Stardust, but it was a big deal that he was gone. Because people didn't just leave back then. That wasn't the most common thing. Not only did he leave, he immediately jumps over to the indies, becomes a huge sensation, goes on and creates the biggest competition WWE has had in like 30 years, and then comes back. This huge triumphant hero's welcome. Cody is finally recognized. Would Matt Cardona get that? I don't think so. I would love to see them do something with him if he were to come back. Will they? Not likely. Not likely at all. I love me some Matt Cardona. I loved me some Zack Ryder back in the day. I was watching every episode of Z True Long Island Story the day it came out. I was so on the Zack Ryder hype train before it was cool. And then they kind of used him for a bit. I remember TLC 2012, I popped my fucking nut watching him win the US title. Or was it 20? It might have been 2011. TLC 2011. That makes more sense. That feels righter. But yeah, that's the news and rumors of the week. Matt Cardona is not coming to WWE. Let's talk about Dubby, the game-changing energy drink that kicks sugar to the curb and leaves crashes in the past. Say goodbye to those old tasteless energy drinks, and hello to sustained, clean energy that keeps you going without the jitters. Dubby comes in a wide variety of flavors and is jam-packed with natural ingredients and vitamins, giving you the boost you need without all the guilt. Whether you're hitting the gym, getting some dubs, or just need a pick-me-up, Dubby's got your back. And the best part? If you use discount code THISISDILLY at checkout, you save 10%. That's right, use discount code THISISDILLY and get 10% off store-wide. Get yours today and see why Dilly chooses Dubby. Alright, so let's talk about the WrestleMania kickoff. First things first, why the fuck are they calling it the WrestleMania kickoff? You could have put any other word in there but kickoff. It was not a kickoff. They used the term kickoff for the shows before the pay-per-views. Those are the kickoff shows. Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew. What did they call it for a bit? The Mountain Dew. It was like their drink at the time. It wasn't Mountain Dew kickoff. It was Mountain Dew. Not Code Red. Code Black. What? Pitch Black. It wasn't Mountain Dew Pitch Black. It was Jumpstart. Kickstart. Mountain Dew Kickstart. Yeah, that's what they called it for a bit. The kickoff is what they do before pay-per-views. I don't know why they called this WrestleMania event a kickoff. It's very confusing. But here's what happened. I took some little notes while I was going down. So, not in any kind of order. First thing I want to talk about is Becky. Becky Lynch said, so she's talking to Rhea, talking about how Becky's going to fight Rhea at Mania. Even though it's not announced yet, but she's like, I'm going to fight you at Mania. And I'm going to show you the mommy's going to learn what it's like to be a bottom. Those are like practically the exact words she said. I almost pissed myself laughing. Those words I never expected to be on WWE programming. But here we are. What a time we live in, folks. So other than Rhea Ripley sex talking Becky Lynch sex talking Rhea Ripley, Nia Jax versus Rhea Ripley was made official for the Elimination Chamber. I don't think it was official before this event. I could be wrong. Either way, Nia's fighting Rhea at the Chamber. Becky qualified for the Chamber match on Raw. Becky wants Rhea at Mania, obviously, like I said. That's really all about those women. The Chamber's coming up. They're going to do things there. The winner of the Chamber match itself gets to go on and fight Rhea at WrestleMania, which cuts out any idea of a multi-woman match, which is bothering me. Oh, well. So Bianca Belair comes out. I believe Bianca Belair started off the show, I believe, but they made an announcement after the Becky and Rhea segment that Bianca Belair is going on to Raw for, she's entering a qualifying match this upcoming Raw against Meechan. And honestly, I've never seen Bianca Belair fight such a tough opponent. This is going to be hands down the most even level pro wrestling match I have ever seen. I don't think Bianca gets out of that match with her hair still intact. Obviously, the sarcasm. Meechan's great, right? Right, we love Meechan here. Yeah. Why? Make Meechan fight, like, you know, not Bianca Belair. Because they're not the same. Everybody knows they're not the same. Meechan is like a 2 in Triple H's mind, Bianca's like a 45. Like, that's not really fair. Like, it's gonna be a 2-minute match. It should only be a 2-minute match. Sorry, Meechan, but it should be a 2-minute squash match on Raw. And hey, Bianca gets to go to Elimination Chamber so she can do another WrestleMania match. Yay! Bianca terrifies me the same way Roman Reigns used to terrify me. If you've been watching the product for like a decade or so now, like if you've been watching for quite a while, you'll know like that moment in time where it felt like anytime anything was happening, Roman Reigns is going to win. I mean, he does that now too, but it's less terrifying because I expect it more now. But like back in the day, say there's like a Royal Rumble. You know Roman's going to come down to the final 2 or 3, and then you know he's probably going to win, or an equivalent. Like, he's either going to win this match and go on to Mania that way, or he's going to end up in Mania somehow anyway. This has, like, been Roman Reigns' gimmick for a while now. Just, I'm going to win. I'm going to kick ass. I'm going to win. I feel that same way about Bianca, because obviously she's beating Meechan. We're not talking about that anymore. Bianca getting into the chamber match fucking terrifies me, because I do not want to see Rhea versus Bianca one bit. I would take Meechan versus Rhea at Mania. I would take anything over Bianca and Rhea. We do not need that match ever. I know they've both been like the most dominant women in WWE history in like a long time. Maybe not in history. Charlotte's out of the equation. Man, they like pushing their powerful women. Like, they're women that just win every match they're in. I like Rhea because she's mommy, and I am a simp for that. But Bianca, Charlotte, people like that, just constantly winning, and then it's like, I don't get it. Rhea, at least, doesn't wrestle, so it's not like she's always winning. That's a good thing. She's just, you know, even if she was always winning, I think with Rhea, it just kind of works better. With Charlotte, you can tell it's just because she's Ric Flair's kid. With Bianca, I'm not going to say it. I don't want to be that guy. Bianca is great. She's very talented. The only thing I hate about her, and I've said this a million times, this is why I don't want to say it. She is just not a good face at all. She's not. She is like the worst face. I do not buy her for 1 second. I get it. They want her for the children. They want the children to be like Bianca. That's why Bianca jumps on the fucking second ropes and just starts smacking her ass. Like, you want kids to be doing that? That's fine. You do you, Vince or Triple H. Like, you do you. I cannot stand Bianca one fucking bit. I don't think I'm supposed to. I think I'm supposed to hate her. I'm not the demographic. Like, I'm at the point now, like, I'm, you know, not old, but I'm like 22 years old. I'm not a kid. I'm not like a old person. I'm like in the middle, but I'm realizing I'm not the demographic for a lot of things anymore. A lot of things aren't specifically appealing to me anymore. I'm in a weird point where I'm not Attitude Era, but I'm not PG Era. I'm like Ruthless Aggression, and it's just, it's a weird place to be in 2024, being a Ruthless Aggression kid. That's the best way I could explain it right there. Like, you know, I don't pop as hard when Rock comes back. Like, I do, obviously, a little bit, because, you know, he is a legend. It's not like I haven't seen his shit with Mick Foley back in the day, or, like, you know, shit with Steve Austin. Like, WrestleMania 17 is my favorite WrestleMania of all time. I've seen it I don't know how many fucking times. I could tell you every match that happens, every spot in every match. I was very much an attitude kid at heart, but you know, when Rock comes back, it's like, oh, there we go. He's a movie star. He's 50 some years old. Why is he here? I don't pop for that. I also don't pop for Bianca coming out and doing Bianca things. Like, it's just, it's a disconnect. If I was younger, maybe. But I don't know. How do kids not get annoyed by watching the same person come out and do the same shit? I don't care if it's your favorite. You have no reason for her to be your favorite, other than the fact that she has weird hair, she does weird moves, she's okay in the ring. I'm going to stop talking about Bianca. I really don't like Bianca. I could do a full podcast episode on why I hate Bianca Belair and Charlotte. I'll throw Charlotte in the same boat because I consider them the exact same person. There's no differences between those two. No more Bianca talk. Let's talk about the real meat and potatoes of this WrestleMania kickoff event. Roman Reigns, The Rock, Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes. Oh, they did a whole bunch of shit on this kickoff. So, I tried to do this part in order, right? The Rock wants to fight Roman Reigns vice versa. Roman Reigns wants to fight The Rock at WrestleMania. Roman Reigns comes out, Seth Rollins is already out there, and Seth's like, haha, who's Cody gonna fight at Mania? It's gonna be me? And then Reigns comes out, and he's like, I wanna fight The Rock! That's it. Just, oh, well, you gotta do the whole... This place. Acknowledge me. And then he gets into his, I want to face the Rock. You know, I hate when he talks. I get it. He's a good heel for making me hate it, but I hate it. So Roman Reigns wants to fight The Rock. The Rock comes out and he's like, Moana means family. Put it here, big boy. And he stretches his hand as wide as he can. He flexes his bicep as much as he can. He stretches that hand out because he wants to fight Roman at Mania too. And then they pull up a family tree graphic of the Inouyes, which is insane. It was a very large family tree. Like, we're talking a fucking forest of humans. So they pull that up. And then they miss the biggest opportunity they had this whole show. They pulled up the family tree. And then The Rock's like, okay, let's fight at Mania, Roman. And they shake hands. Cody comes out. Why do you pull up an Inouye family tree? Rock literally says, this is proof that there's only one royal family in pro wrestling. Cody comes out. Why do they not play Cody's theme? Where the first thing that is said is, wrestling has more than one royal family. Was that not the perfect time to play that song? That was the only thing I could think. I didn't even care at that point. I was like, they didn't play the fucking song. They didn't say the thing. But anyway, Cody comes out. He's like, hey, fuck y'all guys. I'm fighting Roman Reigns at Mania. The Rock's like, what the fuck? No, you're not. Reigns was like, what the fuck? No, you're not. Roman Reigns is like, you go fight Seth Rollins. He's a loser. Seth's just over here just minding his own fucking business. Nobody's talking about Seth other than when Roman is just calling him a loser. Seth doesn't get on the mic and defend himself either. He's just kind of sitting there probably doing his little dance like, ha 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 ha. Like, I don't... he didn't need to be there. That was so... I almost feel like it was disrespectful towards Seth that they even brought him out to do that. So anyway, Roman's like, you suck, go fight Seth instead. I'm fighting my big cuz here. And then meanwhile, like, The Rock's kind of getting along with Roman. Like, for someone that wants to fight someone, you're being awful buddy-buddy. They were really being buddy-buddy. So then Roman Reigns throws out the line, you're irrelevant, just like your dad. And then Cody's like, hur! Like, you remember Festus? You remember, like, when, like, you ring the bell and he's like, ah! When you're Cody Rhodes and someone mentions your dad, you're like, ah! Like, it's the same thing. He is Festus. Cody Rhodes is Festus. So Cody says, or Roman says, your dad's irrelevant, so are you, fuck you, your dad's dead, bye. We need Christian in WWE. Christian never got to have a feud with Cody. God, we need that right now. Anyway, Roman shit talks Dusty, so then Cody's like, you know what, Roman, your dad, and hey Rock, your dad, High Chief, they'd be ashamed of you. And then they took that offensively. He didn't talk shit about them. He just said they'd be ashamed. But they're Samoans, so they're like they're ready to fucking chow down on that ass. So Roman's staring down Cody. Cody's staring down Roman. The Rock walks into frame. He's like, you know what, Cody? Bitch slaps him. What did the five hands say to the face? Bitch slaps the fuck out of him. So Cody and everybody kind of start not brawling. Like, there's people. They're not really trying to fight, though. They're like kind of like dogs. Just, they weren't really going to do anything. But, yeah, lots of swearing got censored, by the way, which is amazing. Like, when Cody came out, the first thing he says is, hey, this is some bullshit. And, like, I could tell that's what he said. I would have, like, I laughed hard enough as is. If it didn't censor it, oh my god, I would have died laughing. Censoring it ruins it so much, and they censored so much because everyone was swearing. Rock, especially. Rock was saying a lot of shit. A lot of shit. I couldn't even tell what he was saying. I just know that he was swearing because I couldn't hear what he was saying. So essentially right now, Roman and Rock are buddies. Cody and Seth are buddies. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they're setting up for the weirdest tag team match in the history of ever. I don't know what they're doing. Rock doesn't seem to want to fight Reigns. Rock kind of wants to fight Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes kind of wants to fight Roman. Seth is just... like, I don't know what they're doing. Nothing makes sense right now. They booked that kickoff the weirdest way they could have, and I feel like they probably did it intentionally. They don't want to give away all their secrets quite yet, especially where we have God only knows how much TV we have between... It's 50-something days, so there's going to be, like, what, 5-ish episodes of Raw, an Elimination Chamber, so much shit before Mania. They're kind of getting out, like, the big bits. Like, this is probably what's going to happen at Mania, but we'll see. Cody definitely did choose Roman, though. That's guaranteed. They have said that. You can't just change who you're going after if you win the Rumble. He said he's fighting Roman, so we definitely can't go on any speculation about, oh, Cody and Seth, because that's probably not what's going to happen. How's The Rock going to play in all of this? I don't fucking know. If they made him special guest referee, he would just be impartial, and that would be stupid. I'm expecting at some point they're going to make Rock realize, oh man, Reigns, my daddy would be ashamed of you, boy. But it's so weird seeing Rock as a heel right now. Like, he got a lot of hate, and he's been getting a lot of hate. It's almost like they're trying to harness that, but that's a weird move to make. Really, what I was expecting them to do was Rock come out and say, hey, Roman, fuck you. You're getting Cody at Mania. And then Cody comes out and everyone pops. The Rock gets his, you know, composure back. They don't hate him anymore, the fans. They didn't do that. The Rock is like a full-blown heel right now. And I don't know what they're doing. It's very off-putting the way they're booking everything right now. I'm assuming Rock's... Well, I'm not even assuming. Rock's definitely going to have a role at Mania. I don't see... Like, the only logical conclusion here would be maybe make Rock fight Seth. But that would be fucking weird. Like, we don't need that. There would be no reason for that. The only person Rock should be fighting at Mania is Reigns. But he doesn't want to. And Cody does. So it doesn't make sense. Yeah, that was WrestleMania kickoff. Fucking weird was that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dilly Apparel. Here you'll find a little bit of everything. From hilarious tees to eye-catching hoodies, we've got something for just about every style. With graphics from various different projects and more being added all the time, surely you'll find something that fits you. Express yourself with Dilly Apparel, because life's too short to wear boring clothes. Visit dillyapparel.ca today and let your wardrobe do the talking. That's dillyapparel.ca. All right, so it is time for the main event of the evening. I'm going to be doing my early WrestleMania card predictions. We're going to try to figure out what matches are happening at Mania, maybe a bit of backstory as to why. We're going to start off with the matches that are already announced, and I mean, card subject to change. Things could get fucking shitty between now and Mania. Somebody could get hurt, like it seems to be happening a lot. So for the women's title on the SmackDown side, we have Io Sky versus Bayley. That's happening. The WWE Championship, which I think they're calling it the WWE Championship now. It was the Universal Undisputed WWE Championship, but I think they actually shortened it. At least internally, I heard something about that. They shortened the name of it now. So we'll say the WWE Championship. Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes is seemingly happening. Seemingly. World title, Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre, I think is what they're going to do. I guess we're past the matches that are already announced. I was just reading that one like it's already happening. I see Rollins and McIntyre at Mania. I don't see what other direction you could go. Punk's hurt. I don't know what else you would do. I could definitely see Damian Priest cashing in this match too. I don't have it written here. I don't have it predicted concretely. I could definitely see it happening. That's something I'll have to call once we're a little bit closer to it, but Seth did the heist of the century at WrestleMania 31. I think it'd be cool if they kind of swapped roles, like Rollins gets cashed in the main event. Well, maybe not main event, but there's no spot for Rollins in the main event right now. It'd be cool if they did like a reverse heist of the century, like Damian Priest comes out and cashes in on Rollins in his match. Something like that could be cool, could work. For the Women's World Championship, I'm a bit iffy on who is going to win that chamber match and who is going to end up fighting Rhea. I know what I want. I don't know what's going to happen. That's another thing we're going to have to call closer to it. But right now, in my heart of hearts, and this isn't going to change, what I want is not going to change. Originally, I wanted Rhea and Jade. No. Jade does not need a women's world title match as her first singles match in the company. No, we don't need that. That was silly for me to even think that. I thought she was going to win the Rumble, go and fight Rhea at Mania. So stupid that was. Why would her first match be for the title? Anyway, I want them to do Rhea Ripley, Mommy, versus Liv Morgan. Because trust me, guys, it would be good. They're definitely setting up for a Liv and Rhea rivalry, which is good on Raw. Liv Morgan's talking about coming back. She's like, I'm coming back for revenge, and I'm going to get my revenge on Rhea Ripley. So hearing that, I'm just like, oh my God, they're actually probably, potentially, maybe thinking about doing Liv and Rhea. Dude, that would be like the best WrestleMania match. Because we're at the point now where Liv, I'm pretty sure they were tag champs for a bit. I just remembered that. Liv and Rhea were tag champs for a bit, and I really loved that pairing. They work really well together. Just seeing them, they clash so well together, because you have the Dom, and you have... You get the idea. It is sex, you know? It's big, small, yeah. Yeah, good. Definitely want that to happen. Definitely want that match to happen. Because, like I was going to say, we're at the point now where Liv isn't, like, the same Liv she used to be. Like, she's not Riot Squad Liv. She's not bottom of the card, doesn't really win matches Liv. She won the title for a bit, the SmackDown Women's title, if that means anything. She had a cool run where she liked throwing herself off shit through tables. I love that, personally. She was good for a bit, and then Ronda Rousey happened. Feels like that was like an eternity ago, but we got to that point. She won Money in the Bank, cashed in, was champ for a bit. We're at the point now where Liv has matured. She's blossomed. She can now be the best version of Liv Morgan, and Rhea is always the best version of Rhea. Give us the best of both worlds. Don't give me Rhea and Bianca, please. I'm not talking about Bianca anymore. The IC title is another kind of weird one to book. I don't know what they're planning right now. I know they're kind of showing a Jey Uso feud. That's what I have written here, Gunther versus Jey Uso. I don't think I'd like that match. You need to do something with Jey, because, you know, you gotta do something, but I don't know. It doesn't feel right, Jey Uso getting a singles title match. I definitely don't see him winning, but either way, it's still weird that he would get a match. U.S. title is another one that I have no fucking clue what they're going to do. Logan Paul is still champion as of this recording. They haven't announced any sort of a U.S. title elimination chamber, which I, for some reason, expected them to do. So that's not happening. Maybe. It might. We don't know. I think at Mania, they should go back to their roots. Not their roots, but go back to WrestleMania 31, like we were talking about earlier, in 32, where it starts off with the multi-man ladder match. That used to be for the IC title. Don't do that with Gunther's title. It's too prestigious. Make the US title the fun title. Make it the hardcore, extreme, fun championship. I think I mentioned this in like either the last episode or the episode before. I want them to do like to have fun with the US title. Because, like, you got Logan Paul, the fucking prime guy, as champion. Do fun shit. So do a 6-man, 7-man, 8-man, whatever, however many men you want to put in there, put them all in a ladder match. So this is kind of the card, the match I've compiled for this. I don't know if this is going to work. Don't know if this makes sense. Don't know if it's what they'll do. But I have Logan Paul as champion against Kevin Owens, LA Knight, yeah, Theory, Grayson Waller, and Karrion Kross. That's a bit of a weird one. I kind of forgot that Kross's group's kind of feuding with Bobby and the Prophets. Yeah, I think we're going to take Kross out of there. I'd like Sammy to be in that match, but he's on Raw, so they might not, unless they do a trade, which they easily could. There's also going to be a lot of people, just a heads up, that I don't have any plans for, that I just... no idea what they're doing. We'll take Kross out of that match, and we'll say the Testy Boys, which is Kross's new group, versus Lash Business. I don't know. That's going to be the next match after the U.S. ladder match. So yeah, we got the ladder match should be fun. I want them to do a multi-man. I don't know the men, clearly. Maybe I want LA Knight to be in it. I think that'd be nice. It would be nice to give LA Knight a U.S. title. That's what he needs right now. So after the U.S. title ladder match, we got, as I said, the Final Testament versus the New Hurt Business. I don't know what... I don't think they have a name yet. But if they don't, they're the New Hurt Business. Then, get into some more women's matches. We're just going to talk about this one briefly because it involves Bianca Belair. Put her against Jade Cargill. Why would you not do that? Really? Really? Why would you not? That's all I'm going to say. Just do it. Next, we have a match that I don't even understand. Like, these two people need to do something, surely, but I don't know what. We're going to put Becky Lynch versus Nia Jax. just no reason. Just one-on-one. I know they, like, just did that feud for a bit. I don't care. Do it again. Yeah. That's it. Next, we have a 4-on-4... men's tag team match, which is also one that I'm not too sold on, but I think it would be kind of a cool idea. We got the Judgment Day. We got Damian Priest, Finn Balor, Tom and Nick Mysterio, and JD McDonagh versus DIY and the team of Tyler Dunn and Pete Date. Tyler Bate and Pete Dunn. They're doing this match at Elimination Chamber, I believe. Was it Chamber? Yes, they are doing this match at Chamber. Kinda. So we have... No, they're not, actually. Because we have... At Chamber, we're having the Judgment Day versus either Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate or DIY. I think at Mania, do a four-way. Just put all Judgment Day versus Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, and DIY. Throw them all in there, slap them together, make them do some shit. Cool. And the last match I have written here is Randy Orton versus AJ Styles. Probably in a gimmick match, like a no DQ. I don't know if they're going to do that feud, but Orton and Styles, both big names right now, both with nothing to do. Yeah, do that. Good enough. That's my WrestleMania card. I know I've missed quite a few people. I realized while recording this, like Andrade, I didn't plan a match for him. There's space, trust me. There's two nights of WrestleMania. That was only like 10 matches. We got space. We got time. Let me know what you guys think. What do you guys think of my list? What do you guys think of the WrestleMania kickoff? Let me know all about it in the comments or on social media at This Is Dilly, at Dilly Plays YT, or a ring the bell thing, which is likely to come out soon. Also, as mentioned previously, go check out my Dilly Plays YouTube channel. Links in the description. I've been doing Road to WrestleMania playthroughs. I just finished John Cena's, just finished Triple H's. Moving on to The Undertaker's, big announcement at the head of this show. And then go to www.dubby.gg and use code ThisIsDilly at checkout to save 10%. Go to dillyapparel.ca to get cool shirts like this one. This one is based off of my... I'm so sorry, microphone. This one is based off of my SmackDown vs. Raw playthrough. Shenanigans is afoot. Yeah, I think that's all I have to say. hope you guys did enjoy this episode of Ring the Bell. If you did, of course, make sure to like, comment, share, subscribe. If you're on the podcast platform, share it around. You know what to do. Follow me on your podcast platforms too. Subscribe on YouTube. Do all the cool things that you know how to do. And I've been your host as always. This is Dilly, signing out. Let's talk about Dubby, the game-changing energy drink that kicks sugar to the curb and leaves crashes in the past. Say goodbye to those old tasteless energy drinks, and hello to sustained, clean energy that keeps you going without the jitters. Dubby comes in a wide variety of flavors and is jam-packed with natural ingredients and vitamins, giving you the boost you need without all the guilt. Whether you're hitting the gym, getting some dubs, or just need a pick-me-up, Dubby's got your back. And the best part? If you use discount code THISISDILLY at checkout, you save 10%. That's right, use discount code THISISDILLY and get 10% off store-wide. Get yours today and see why Dilly chooses Dubby. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dilly Apparel. Here you'll find a little bit of everything. From hilarious tees to eye-catching hoodies, we've got something for just about every style. With graphics from various different projects and more being added all the time, surely you'll find something that fits you. Express yourself with Dilly Apparel, because life's too short to wear boring clothes. Visit dillyapparel.ca today and let your wardrobe do the talking. That's dillyapparel.ca.